when I think about and remember how there was no way out and you rescued me. There's no reason why you loved me then and you love me now. At least no reason I can see. You had always been my closest friend, even though I'd never defended that. I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray, but you were there to bring me back. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. We could never repay, from my heart, I'd like to say that I thank you. There's so much to learn about out of time, all your words of life that burn in me into a living fountain flowing deep and flowing clean, so that all can come and drain. But I know open heart of mine to carry on to the place where I can be your servant, be your friend, one that you can depend on.
This is Terry Clark, and Thank You, Jesus was a simple prayer written down in a little notebook of mine that was one of those milestone moments of intimate conversation with the Lord. The words just came directly and quickly in a prayerful expression. After a while in conversation with reading his word and hearing him speak so personally to me, then I just had this spontaneous response, which really wound up to be, I tell people, it's really the story of my life. My life just kind of poured out in thanksgiving for the fact that he's there and that he's provided all that he has for all that I need. That was in my little notebook for probably over a year, just as a written prayer. And then something interesting happened because it began to be clear that it was maybe time to begin to put some music to that, because the music began to ring in my head as I would remember the prayer. The music began to be audible in my mind, and as that began to happen, then it just, it was almost like I was tuning in to the music that was already playing to the prayer, and that it was a song all along. So as a result, over these years, that every time I play and sing the song, it's a new and fresh conversation with the Lord about the same issues, but with today's added perspectives. It's always true every time. And that's why I believe that Jesus wanted to make it a public thing, because it winds up to be all our lives' stories. And in view of the reality of his life, then this is what we want to say. But we want to say it with more than a song or with a few words. We want to say it with our lives. Now today, I've got my younger brother, Dwayne, with me. He's full-time with a church in Lancaster, California, Grace Chapel, focused on the Word and activating people in their personal ministries and callings. Happy to have him with me for this program, because I'd like to just talk to him for a few minutes and have him sing one of his songs.
It's nice to be in Orange County, and actually it's a rainy day, which is interesting for Southern California.
Yeah, it kind of reminds us of where we work together for a very intensive time in the UK. We were based in London, where Nancy and I were married, and during that time, and we worked with a band called Liberation Suite, hotel suite kind of suite, and that was some very intensive time. So I'd like to just, instead of play nostalgic games here, I would like to get right to what's really on our hearts, which is the burden that we have for the body of Christ, the burden we have for the world in general, but more specifically, God has given us to the body of Christ to equip them and to encourage them, to train them. If they choose to become the Lord's disciples, then we want to be ready to facilitate the communion necessary, the interaction and the exchange of their life for His. That's really necessary, and more so every day with our world situation. And we feel like we're very close to the day when our Lord will say, okay, that's enough, and yeah. I'm going to take my people away for a while, and then we're going to clear up all the confusion and renew them with new bodies and minds and purpose, and get busy ushering in the real event, which will be Him ruling in this world with a rod of iron to bring peace. And that reminds me of a Hebrew general, who, a little wiry guy that was involved with all the original, the first wars that Israel went through in securing their land. He said that there is no peace without might. And of course, he knew that firsthand. So it reminds me that the peace that will come on this earth under the rule of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will be under a rulership with an iron rod. And in other words, sin will be punished and crime will be punished. And we've lost our ability to do that in this age that we live in. So rather than me preach anymore, I would like to just ask Dwayne to comment on not just general issues, but I would like him to share the challenges and maybe even the joys of having that kind of firsthand one-on-one interaction with the body of Christ and as a leader, as a pastor. And he's always had the pastor's heart since he graduated from high school. He's been involved with church staff. Dwayne, how do you feel about and how do you see where we are as the body of Christ today? And how are you and the leadership at Grace Chapel dealing with such a huge challenge in our world today?
I think most recently for me, the Revelation 2 letter to the church at Ephesus has been on my mind a lot, and I think it strikes a bell for the ministry at Grace Chapel. That church, we know, was known for and commended for its good works, and it looked good, it sounded good, and was in the business of combating evil and doing good works and ministering to others. But if you remember, Jesus' challenge to them was that they needed to return to their first love. And I see that as a challenge to the church at large today, and particularly a challenge to us at Grace Chapel in the ministry in the Antelope Valley, as it's known as. We're a high desert community in the north part of Los Angeles County, kind of separate from the city, but charged really with bringing attention to Christ and attention to our need for the relationship with Him that He's calling us to, which is that first love relationship, which really, in my estimation, has everything to do with worshiping God, with being connected with Him, and not just worship in song, which is obviously part of our ministry that we've been involved in through the decades, but more especially worship in communion with the Lord, and doing that, yes, as individuals, but as a corporate body. And the challenge is to bring the corporate body to that place of functioning that way together, when, you know, not just singing a song, but responding to a message from the Word of God, fellowshipping with one another, being the church in a world that needs to know Christ. And that's really a challenge that we're striving to meet in the power of the Holy Spirit, specifically at Grace Chapel in Lancaster.
And that brings up a very kind of, not touchy, but a very in-our-faces kind of issue with the body of Christ at this point, because I would like to hear how you feel like worship music is dealing with that challenge that you're talking about, as well as dealing with the challenge of the marketing of worship, really just meaning singing songs together, or even just listening to the praise band or the worship team playing music that they like on somebody's album. And of course, they're doing the album version of the song and trying to copy it. How do you feel like you're dealing with that? And what do you think is the goal that we should be pressing for, especially if we're part of a worship team and a worship leader?
I feel like we easily substitute. We substitute doing a good song or doing an album version of that song in a live setting for real worship, and we feel like we get to the end of the song, we've worshiped God, and maybe there's a response and applause, or perhaps there's just silence and we move on to the next song. But it's a subtle trick that I think the enemy is playing on the church in the marketplace, particularly of worship music. The marketplace where the popular song is sold on your favorite MP3 format, or on some Christian radio station, or even in the worship setting, because the marketplace is what it is, substitute the feeling that we get from doing the popular song for real interaction with the King and with the Lord. And that's a huge challenge that's difficult to face without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because first of all, we need the Holy Spirit to convict us, which Jesus said in John 14 would be one of the things that he did. But we also need the Holy Spirit to teach us, as well as bring to our remembrance the things that we've been taught, which are more functions that Jesus talked about there in John chapter 14 of the Holy Spirit. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are subtly tricked into not recognizing that we've lost that first love, that we've lost that connection, because we've replaced that with the feeling that we get when we do the song that we like, and the feeling that we get when corporately we, and maybe we're all singing and we're singing loud and it feels good, and we call that worship. The question that we have to answer is that really that first love response to Christ? Is that really that first love response to the Lord? Is it really that giving of honor to him that he is due? Or is it just us caught in the moment of feeling as though we've worshiped because we like this music, because we like this song, because it sounds like what we heard on the radio, the band's copying it, whatever. It's a subtle trick, and the battle has to be fought on our knees and asking the Holy Spirit to convict us, to lead us, to teach us, to guide us.
Well, speaking of the intimacy, the personal, relational, and I believe the biblical view of what Jesus means when he uses the term worship. I know that music plays a big part, but how would we turn the tide? How do we make an impression that you know, just performing a song and singing along with the performance of a song is actually worship? How can we teach that in the forum, in the media of music itself? And how do we personally bring that to a place where it may be just a subliminal influence that we're exerting? What is our responsibility? Since we're musicians, God has given us that language to do this work. Do you see ways that you've addressed that challenge and it's turned out, maybe you didn't hear about it right away, but it's turned out that it turns somebody's head enough that they suddenly were talking to Jesus in the course of that song or in the course of that set of songs?
Yeah. The challenge, I think, first and foremost, is to know the difference between a counterfeit, if it's there for worship, and the real deal. And that starts at the personal level for me, for you as a musician. I'll illustrate it like this. It's the illustration that we're all familiar with, the young banker who's being trained to recognize the difference between a counterfeit bill and a real bill, a currency, money bill, you know. And the way that he knows the difference is by handling the real thing. And at the personal level, back to our relationship, our worship, call to worship from Jesus and how he defines that, on the personal level, we need to begin with doing all we can as an individual believer, let alone a musician or a worship leader, but just somebody who's called to follow Christ, to be more than a fan of Jesus, as Kyle Eidelman put it in his recent book, not a fan, to be more than a fan, but actually a follower. And that equates to real relationship with the Lord. So the challenge to know the difference between counterfeit worship and real worship at the corporate level is for me to be able to recognize that at the personal level. And it boils down to that bottom line relationship with the King, where we respond to that Matthew chapter 11 call that Jesus gave, come to me. You know, all you who are weary and heavy laden, whether you're weary or heavy laden, the call is to come to him. And at the personal level, we've got to do that so that we can recognize who he is, so that we can recognize when real personal relationship with him is happening. And then to translate that to the corporate level is now made much easier by the fact that at the personal level, I can recognize when I'm really communing with Jesus and when I'm not. And here's what the Holy Spirit does. And this is his work. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's Christ's church, and Christ is building his church. And he has given us the Holy Spirit within each of us. We're all temples of the Holy Spirit. Paul reminded the church at Corinth, "Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" So as I'm working, striving to recognize the difference between the counterfeit and the real deal, in other words, practicing the presence of God, as has been said, at the personal level, when I'm standing in front of a microphone with my guitar, or sitting at the piano, or standing at the pulpit reading a passage of Scripture and calling attention to the Lord, the Holy Spirit makes that an obvious real moment. If I've been in those obvious real moments already, I know how to get back to that moment because I've been there, and we've used that illustration through the years. You know, you got to know how to get somewhere if you're going to lead somebody there. But at the personal level, I've been practicing recognizing what the real deal is. And so as a worship leader, as a member of the worship team, even as a pastor, if I'm standing before Christ's body, before Christ's bride, and calling attention to him, the Holy Spirit has a way of verifying that in the hearts of those that are not just listening, but desiring to participate in the church, and stirring up even in the hearts of those that might be on the fringes, because there's this recognition that this is the real deal that's being practiced right now at the microphone, that's being practiced right now with the guitar in hand. You know, this is not a Sunday morning Christian concert. This is not a Sunday morning Christian funny guy preaching the word of God so I'm being entertained. This is the real deal. The Holy Spirit confirms that. And for that to happen, it's got to start back at the personal level. It's got to start with Dwayne daily, regularly, moment by moment, stirring up that drive toward God who has created Dwayne for his pleasure, who has created Dwayne. Plug your own name in there, Terry, who's created whoever you are that might be listening for that relationship with him. Practiced at the individual level, it plays out more readily at the corporate level. Whether I'm singing the popular song, you know, from the radio, or singing a new song that the Holy Spirit has stirred up in my heart at that very moment, he can be at work if the vessel is yielded to him and has been yielded to him through that work of that personal walk, that personal relationship with God.
Now, I believe all of that. And, okay. And of course, we've...
Glad you do.
We've both experimented and experienced those things in our quest to do exactly what we're talking about, to affect people's lives, to be the vessel for the Holy Spirit to build his church, and do that in intimate conversation, which is what I've discovered the whole thing is about. God wants personal conversation with us and with his people. There's not an elite few who he has these conversations with, right, and has this intimacy with. He wants it with every one of, right, his children.
He calls us all.
And so we open that up. Unfortunately, we have the physics of a theater seating situation in most churches today, and have since Constantine gave us buildings. Hmm. But we've kept it. And they're pretty sure that worship equals singing songs together in church, or having songs played in church, and everybody, you know, doing whatever their level of participation is going to be, mostly spectating. And to a certain degree anymore, it's the entertainment value that brings people to that experience. Now, in those personal times of trying to impart that to would-be or existing worship leaders, they agree with all of that, but then just drop back into the muscle memory of what they've been doing.
Yeah. And this is the way we've always known it.
Yes. And that muscle memory is a very hesitant opponent, a very resistant work or force within us. Not because we're stupid. We do believe what we're saying and what we've learned. We do believe that, but putting it into action is quite another thing.
We'll be right back after this.
What I feel like we end up being infatuated with is the style of music, the kind of dialect of the language of music that is currently in vogue. And there's no need to get into, you know, how the music is actually singing the song It's singing, the universe is already singing the song. Mm. It's us who have the option of tuning up and actually interpreting that from the filter of who God is in us and what he's doing in us and how we're intimately interacting with him.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So rather than get too deeply into that, I recognize that in everything you said, you never once gave reference to a style of music or an instrumental kind of grouping of musical instruments that is more holy than another.
Mm.
And down through my whole life, which has been a long, long time, but not near as long as Charles Wesley, who we were reading some of his stuff this morning, and it seems that it was always the same. People gravitate, they obsess, they connect with certain styles, or they just typically and naturally teach as dogma, basically, what their experience is and where they meet the Lord. And there's not a whole lot wrong with that as long as we are led by leadership to not be satisfied with a little plateau. So having said all of that and knowing that we're in agreement with all of that, I think that what we've done is in our generation and in the beginning of this next generation is we've very admirably simplified church music to a place where everybody could get involved and feel like they're creating. And that's a wonderful thing. I mean, it was a wonderful thing until about 1980 or so, because when we got into this century, to still be there is a little bit of a strain on those who have been excited and inspired by true musicianship and true sense of giving glory to God through their instrument and their voice. And not that the three-chord strum your guitar worship leader is not giving glory to God, but it's in some ways, and I talk to many ages of churchgoers every week and have for 40 years almost now in active ministry and all my life in both of us in all of our lives, because we were always in the church activities and musical activities and all of that process. I've talked to all the ages, and they all, whether they're stuck on a certain style or an instrument being the vessel or the instrument of the anointing, so to speak, they will admit that they're stuck. And they will admit that they're a little bit unsatisfied, disappointed. And I'm not talking about a mass exodus from the church. I'm talking about people in mass pretty much staying away because of this being stuck in the simple. Now, simple is good, but what I'm talking about is the creativity that would come by the power of the Holy Spirit for the music to say what the lyrics are saying, which the Spirit is saying by all the creation, all the universe. And I think that's where we stand right now, because we're at the brink of the end of the age. And what we hunger for is a continuity of experience in the presence of the Lord. We hunger for the music and the ministry of the word and the the prayer time and the facilitation of the conversations, the individual conversations with the Lord in response to what he said in his word and all of that, to have this one conversational continuity every time we gather.
Hmm.
We are hungry for that, but nobody has been articulating that because it would disrupt our the current fad or our system that seems to be what we've worked so hard to get going,
things.
You know. And as a result, the body of Christ is a little anemic and not very effective in the world, you know, broadly. There are people who are are the exception, as you were speaking of the people who are missionaries and overseas. They operate on the edge of being imprisoned most of the time. And that kind of life is something very remote for most of us in the Western world and and in the Christian church. So
certainly,
I would like for you to make maybe a an additional comment to that and wrap that up, and then play some of your heart's cry to the Lord, some of your conversation with the Lord that, that he's said, okay, let's make this public and let's get people, let's invite people to say this in conversation, led by the Holy Spirit and released by the Holy Spirit to be enmeshed in that continuity of relationship in the Lord right now in this current and present moment to be enmeshed in that relationship.
If I could make that comment that you were asking for, I think the disappointment that people are feeling, you described a kind of a disappointment. You didn't use the word disillusionment necessarily, but maybe just a letdown with where we are in corporate churchianity because of looking for that sort of continuity in the conversation with the Lord, all of us as the body of Christ. I think that disappointment, at least in part, comes because of a disappointment in the venue, in the way in which we, you know, have developed this approach. And you said this essentially. And to bring that to a point, the focus is on the how we're doing church. The focus is on the where we've come to as the body of Christ in our corporate function, in our services. And we've come to this place where we've honed this structure that looks really good, sounds really good, but has in effect, back to the baseline of where we began today, as I was commenting on Revelation chapter 2 and the letter to the church at Ephesus, it has in effect a loss of connection to the real relationship with the Lord. We've built this nice-looking, nice-sounding ministry structure that's not necessarily wrong. But what's wrong with it is that we focused on the structure rather than focusing on the reason for the structure, and subtly allowed that to replace. We've subtly allowed the energy of the organization and how much we like being involved in it to replace what the organization is really about, the organization being the church, capital C, the church at large, the body of Christ on the face of the earth. Our function is to give glory to him. Our function is to be his. And we've focused on the structure, and that's disappointing because the structure is limited. It's only what it is. It's only what it can be, especially if it's done in our own strength, in the strength of the flesh, and the strength of mankind. And we're taking these doctrines of men and we're teaching them as though they were scripture. Maybe we don't see ourselves doing that, but it subtly can be that way. And I think it brings us back to the need for, number one, that individual relationship with the King, and number two, finding out how to challenge others to walk in that individual fellowship with Him. And I don't see us blowing up the system that we have necessarily. I think it's going to take a real effort on the part of every believer to dig in and really purpose to focus on the Lord, really purpose to worship Him, yes, at the individual level and at the corporate level, even in the middle of the structure like it is. You know, we as the body of Christ can function as we are in the structure that we have today. If our focus is right, we can be the representation for Christ in this world that needs to know Him. If our eyes are really set on Him, and we see Him using, like you spoke a moment ago, in individuals and in pockets around the world, we see Him using the current church structure as it is. But what it requires is that focus on the fellowship with Him. What it requires is a returning to that first love. What it requires is me and each of us saying, Lord, I want to know You. I want to honor You with the way that I live, and nothing else matters. Please, by Your Holy Spirit, draw me close and allow me to know You better, and allow me to be empowered by that self-same Holy Spirit to call attention to You in the world that's around me. And we'll begin to see things change in the attitude of our corporate worship as we drive toward that. But church family, it calls for each of us to make a commitment. I am going to be a follower of Christ. I am going to get to know my King. I am going to read this Bible cover to cover and know it and apply it to my life, and not play church within the confines of a structure that makes me feel like I'm doing good Christian things, but really, really be a follower of Christ and really dig in and desire to have relationship with this King who is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my very source. He's my everything. He's my all in all, you know. It has to be about Him. Happen to have a guitar with me. And speaking of our Lord, let's sing a song to Him. Beautiful Lord, maker of all that I see, almighty God, yet humbly You died for me. Lord, You suffered and bled, thinking not of Yourself. You gave Your life, and so became to me. My beautiful Lord, beautiful Lord, maker of all that I see, almighty God, yet humbly You died for me. Lord, You suffered and bled, thinking not of Yourself. You gave Your life, and so became to me. My beautiful Lord. Out of that relationship with Him, should come a desire to make him known, obviously, to others. And I think of the words of Paul to the church at Rome when he said in Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Thank you, Dwayne, for joining me today, and it's great to be together and to be reminded that we're on the same team. It's such a beautiful and powerful thing that Jesus poured into Paul, so that we would understand that we're all part of his body. And we've proven it by going into foreign countries where we don't speak their language and they don't speak ours, but we get in the room with other followers of Jesus and we're suddenly on the same page. We're right together. We want the same thing, and that's to worship Jesus, because he's right there. He comes with us, but he gathers in a very special manifestation, a supernatural thing that it's better than a Star Trek episode, because you know, he's by the multiple bodies that he inhabits coming together, he is projected into the room in such a way that we get to see other facets of him. And it's always a pleasure when we get together. It's always challenging, because the Holy Spirit challenges us by each other's life, and that's true of the whole body. When we're together, we pass life between us, his life, and that's the way the body works. The only thing that we want to warn in context of this, our time of being together and talking about the body as a whole, is don't let yourself be isolated.
Yeah.
It's one of the only tricks that the enemy of God has, that he uses on his people, on his prized creation, human beings. He isolates us.
Yeah.
And he tricks us into thinking that we're alone. And then we get weary, and then we get depressed, and then we get broken. And all the time, Jesus is right there and connected with the rest of the body, but we're not aware of it. And he keeps us so in a hypnotic state where we're looking inward, not looking at Jesus. And the key is not looking at each other. The key is looking at Jesus. Because if I'm looking at Jesus and I'm sitting here in San Clemente, and there's a beautiful saint hiding away in a cave in China somewhere, with shoulder to shoulder connection with the body of Christ, singing praises to the top of their voices in Chinese, we're connected. We're one. We're
participating in the same move, the same person's intent, and that person is Jesus. Yeah. So get away from yourself. Get over yourself. Get free from your self-obsession.
Yeah.
There's nothing more demonic than self-pity.
Mm.
It doesn't just hurt you and the one who's looking at themselves so intently that they get so depressed. It hurts everybody in all directions. It fills the room. I remember when the Lord pointed the fact out that sometimes I would enter a room and it's like the black hole showed up. Everybody gets depressed. And we can do that. We can bring either the joy and the light, not by positive thinking and influencing people and making friends and selling stuff, but with that intimacy that Dwayne's been talking about, active in our life, we can walk into a room and Jesus is there.
Hmm.
And he's brought us there so mm-hmm. he can impact the lives of those that he's sent us to. So God bless you in your quest to be his functional body part where you are.
Amen.
Sprout where you've been planted.
Yeah.
Do what he puts in your hand every day and keep looking up.
Mm-hmm.
Keep looking up. He's not depressed. He's not worried. And he's not giving up. Be with him. And we've got a great future ahead of us if that's the case. God bless you.
God bless.
Talk to you later.
When I think about and remember how there was no way out and you rescued me, there's no reason why you loved me then and you love me now, at least no reason I can see. You had always been my closest friend, even though I'd never defended that. I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray, but you were there to bring me back. Grace that you have given us, we could ne'er repay, but from my heart I'd like to say that I thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's so much to learn about how to turn all your words of life that burn in me into a living fountain, flowing deep and flowing clean, so that all can come and drink. I know you're right there, willing to prepare this open heart of mine to carry on to the place where I can be your servant, be your friend, one that you can depend on. For the grace that you have given us, we could ne'er repay, we could ne'er repay, but from my heart I'd like to say that I thank you.
Music you hear me sing on this program, Terry Clark and Friends, is available at our website, catalystpeople.com, C-A-T-A-L-Y-S-T, like in chemistry, people.com. Please come and visit us soon.